shall not be few. Multiply them, they shall not be few.
I glorify them, they shall not be small. I glorify them, they shall not be small. They shall not be few. They shall not be small. They shall not be few. They shall not be small.
I'll multiply them.
They shall not be.
I'll glorify them.
They shall not be small.
I'll multiply them.
They shall not be.
I will glorify them.
They shall not be small.
They shall not be few.
They shall not be.
They shall not be small.
They shall not be small.
They shall not be few.
They shall not be.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. Lift your hand and just speak to God for a moment. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us in this meeting. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your word. In the name of Jesus, we are grateful. Thank you, Lord, for your power that is released in our midst, in our presence. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, our theme is make yourselves saviors of men. Amen. And I believe that as we do that, God blesses us mightily. Now, this morning, I want to share with you from Matthew 28, verse 19, the Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations. Now, to teach people, you need to gather them together, and that is definitely not a crusade. Is that not so? Because you can't easily teach people at a crusade. You have to teach them in a church setting or in a classroom setting. So a spiritual classroom is a church. Okay? I'm okay. A spiritual classroom is a church. And so you must know that to have a spiritual classroom is important to achieve, to get a spiritual classroom where you can teach nations. Amen. Amen. So the Great Commission in Matthew teaches us about the importance of teaching. Do you see? As part of the Great Commission and the importance of church building. Now, one of the things that people don't realize is how important it is to have a church and to have a mega church. So, there is a need for everyone who is part of UD to have deep in your heart one of the implied visions of the Great Commission. Implied because it is not written in the Great Commission. Well, but that's what somebody called the Great Commission. It's not written in it that go and build churches. But it says go and teach nations. Do you see? In order to teach anything, you need to gather the people, which you cannot do with monkeys. You can't gather monkeys. They will never sit down and they will not come repeatedly to any place. This is the reason why you can't teach a monkey anything. But human beings, you can gather them. You can make them sit down. You can make them come again. You can come again tomorrow. Come again the day after. Come again next year. That's the difference between human beings and monkeys. So the reason you can teach human beings but you can't teach monkeys is because human beings are gatherable repeatedly into rooms or classrooms or churches. And when they gather, you can teach them. So fulfilling this commission, the last commission or the great commission, involves organizing groups of human beings together and teaching them in all nations. Amen. Amen. Now, until we get ourselves involved in this work, you'll find out that your life will never experience the greatness that God wants your life to experience. And the great things that God wants your life to experience are beyond your imagination. No one here can pray for what God wants to do for you. You can't even pray for it. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. It has not occurred to you and cannot occur to you. Because many of the good things and the nice things and the great things that God wants to give to you, you don't even know that they exist. Yeah. Because you are a local boy. And local boys don't know a lot of things. Amen. What God could do for you, even it doesn't occur to you. So when you start praying, you will not pray for it. It doesn't come up in the topics. Do you understand? If I look at some of the things that God has done, even for me to have Harmattan Bible Seminar, it has not occurred to me before. It occurred to me last year when I was somewhere praying, and then it's something that came to me. I should do this. So wow! For since I was born, it has not occurred to me before. Yeah. This campus has not occurred to me before. The Kodesh had not occurred to me. I didn't pray for the Kodesh. We were bombed out of Kolegono. Yes. Everything, almost anything about my life that is good did not occur to me, and I didn't pray for it. If I prayed for it, if I say I prayed for it, then not true. Most. Because we are local boys, and we don't know things. We are just local champions. Are you with me? Yeah. So eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for you. And if you are a Christian for some time, a time will come where it will occur to you that God doesn't answer your prayers. Has it occurred to you before? How many have had it occur to you before that it seems that God has not answered your prayers? Now, I want to tell you that it's true. God doesn't answer your prayers. A lot of prayers, he doesn't answer them. Because of your topics. And a lot of things that we are asking for, these are not what God is interested in. Yeah. It's true. I mean, how many have ever made a phone call and you felt that the person doesn't want to answer? Raise your hand. Yeah. And later you find out that the person didn't answer. He didn't want to answer. I will not call back. It's the same thing with God. It's been occurring to you that he doesn't want to answer or is not answering. And I'm telling you, I'm confirming that it's true. He doesn't want to answer it at all, and he has not answered. He will not answer. The things that God has prepared for you are very, very great. Yes. They are greater than, they are such that if you were to pray, you wouldn't pray for that. You wouldn't pray for that. Because it will not even come to your mind. It will not even come to your mind. I want this, or I want this, I want that. It wouldn't come to your mind. Yes, that's the truth. So, rather, I want to encourage all of us here to have a mind to fulfill Jesus' command. Inside that command, you'll find things that you don't pray for that are bigger, wilder, nicer, better than the ones that occur to you. Yes. There is a car far nicer than the one you are thinking of. But you see, you are a local champion, so the car that is occurring to you is a local one. But there are higher things that have not occurred to you. Receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So God has indeed great things in store. And it is rather in our interest that we passionately attach ourselves to his plan. And I do believe with all my heart that as we do that, we are going to see things we don't pray for. Things that we've noticed that we call and there's no reply. Now, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teaching. Teach all nations. So now, what shall I do if I want to teach nations? I must build a church. When I wanted to have crusades, I felt to myself that I needed to start with an auditorium and gather people and preach to them in an auditorium. Then I felt that in Ghana, I was analyzing Oral Roberts' ministry. That's how I'm telling you how I started having crusades. I was analyzing Oral Roberts' ministry and I realized that he went around America having crusades and many of the American evangelists, even Benny Hinn. And in America, they have built auditoriums, convention centers, halls, all over. So all you have to do is to go and rent one of them for 3 days or 2 days, and you have your program. So I thought, when I go to KJB, I'm going to rent a beautiful convention center. When I go to Hohoi, I'll rent a beautiful convention center. When I go here, I'll rent a beautiful convention center. When I realized that there was no convention center in Dunkelkrom and most of the places that we wanted to go. So then I realized that I have to get my own auditorium and move the auditorium from place to place. Are you with me? So that I could gather people in that auditorium and preach to them. So that is where brought the idea of the tent. Do you see? So then the main focus became finding a tent. And I didn't know anybody who had a tent in Ghana. So I went abroad and found a tent so that I could gather people to preach to them in. When it comes to church work, the mega church, you realize that to fulfill this great commission, we have to gather people. And to gather people means we have to build churches physically and in reality, whether they are in classrooms or halls. We need to gather them so we can fulfill this great commission to go to every nation and teach them all things that Jesus has taught us. That means that we have to make churches. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, you must have a vision to build a church in your life if you want to do well. Now, I have a book called The Mega Church. Yeah. The Mega Church and Church Growth. Now, to have in your mind and your heart the vision to build a mega church is the greatest vision for a businessman. Yes. For a student. Why? Because Jesus is Lord not only over pastors. Jesus is Lord of businessmen. He's Lord of students. He's the Lord of scientists. He's the Lord of teachers. And Jesus said, I will build my church. You know, the promises that we claim that Jesus was saying to us. Nobody says, John 15 verse 16, that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I've not seen any businessman in the world who says that this does not apply to that. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I've not seen any businessman saying that it doesn't include him. These are for me, men of God, those who are called by God. No, John 15 verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you... I see businessmen quoting it all the time. Students quote it all the time. Scientists, computer... what do you call it? People. Computer people. Information technology, bankers. They have been quoting this verse. Or what could be the reason for them to select this verse and then select part and then deselect another part. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. I've ordained you. You should go forth, bring forth fruit. How can it be that the first part of the verse, this one, it's even within one verse, that whatsoever you should ask the Father in my name, he should give it to you. How can the top part apply to those who are called to be pastors, and the second part is applies to businessmen and applies to scientists, bankers, and so on? I mean, I don't really understand the logic. You see, hypocrisy has entered us. We have swallowed a camel, and then when it came to a small ant, we said, no, it's too big. Yes. Or John 14, verse 12. Believe me that I am in the Father. No, this is only pastors should believe in me. Men of God, believe in me. Businessmen, this does not apply. Businessmen, don't forget. John 14 doesn't apply to you. These are for pastors. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for my work's sake. Verse 12. He that believeth on me. Businessmen, do you believe in him? Lay people, do you believe in him? He that believeth on me. No, men of God that believe in me. Prophets. The works that I do, shall they do also. That's prophets, the new generation prophets. And great works, greater works than these shall they do, because I'm going to my Father. Greater works. But for who? He that believeth. Now look at 13 and 14. That whatsoever you shall ask in my name. No, this is for men of God. This is for prophets. Only pastors should believe such words. That whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is for men of God who are building churches. Those of you who are students, and those of you who are working at SSB and working at SNIT, you are customs, those of you customs officers, read another, don't forget, these are for men of God. Shame on you. And verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Only pastors and those who are doing church work. Never quote or say amen to this. When we are saying this, these are for pastors who are building churches and those who are doing the works of God. Never, I warn you never to say amen. Never say amen when you say, if you ask anything in my name. Never say amen. I don't want to see you in particular saying amen. Or Matthew 18:19. That one too. Don't. I don't want you to use it when you are praying. And if two of you, if two prophets shall agree on earth, church workers shall agree on earth, as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them. I wouldn't want to hear of you mentioning this verse. These are for those of us who are committed to the Great Commission. We are into outreach. I'm going for crusade next week, so I can use this verse. You don't use this verse. You are into business. God forbid that you should use such a scripture. Is it not Matthew 18? Is it not Matthew 16 that he said, I will build my church in the gates of hell? I wonder why you want to say You have applied 18, but 16 doesn't apply to you. 16 says, I will build my church. 18 says, if you two of you shall agree, I will answer. I don't want to hear you ever. If you hear me preaching and I say, if any of you ask, never say amen. Only pastors should say amen. Amen. You see that you are hot. You see that you are hot. You have nothing. Your life is finished. So, when I took my book here and I said, this is the greatest vision for businessmen. Some of you say, hmm? When I say church growth, this is the greatest vision for pastors, for Christians, church planting. I tell you, it will purify your life. Yes, it will purify your life. It will purify, it will do so many things for you. So let us go 25 reasons why you must have a mega church. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keepeth the law. This is chapter 1 of this book, the mega church. The best vision for businessmen, for pastors, for Christians, for believers, for anyone, is I will build my church. What is Jesus? God's work. God's aim. Amen. Now, it says, where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. So where there is no vision to build the church, the people perish. Amazing. The people perish. People don't do well. When you perish, you're obviously not doing well. So if you want to do well, you need to have the vision of God. God's vision. Amen. Amen. And that's the vision of God. That is the vision of God. To build his church. Yeah. So if you want to do well in life, you need to have a good vision that God has. Amen. Now, in the Hebrew, the word perish means to uncover. Uncover. So when you have no vision, you are uncovered. Huh? You are uncovered. Your covering is gone. So many times I travel, I meet churches, pastors, I can see that they have no vision for church work, even though they are pastors. They are not consumed with a burning vision. This is chapter 1 of this book also. Chapter 1 of church growth. The first chapter is have a burning vision. Yeah. Have a burning vision. Yeah. Burning vision. So, where you are in the church and you don't have a vision to build the church, the Bible says the people perish. The people are uncovered. They are exposed. They are, and another word is naked. Another word is dismissed. The people are sacked. So when you don't have the vision, the right vision and a vision, you become some way. Spiritually, financially, every way. Socially, maritally. Many people who didn't follow the call of God, God ended up divorced, ended up falling into sin. Many things happen along the way. There are so many things. Everybody is susceptible to so many problems in this life. So many. But the vision protects you from perishing. Remember the word perish. Perishable. spoilt. When you say these are perishable goods, they get spoilt. Yam will get spoilt. Fish will be spoiled. Tomatoes will be spoiled. Meat will be spoiled. Perishable. Trust me, I'm telling you. I've been doing this work for some time and been pastoring people. You know, recently I read Rick Joyner. He was saying that most of the people who have told him that they are going to earn money and that when they get the money, they will support the work, almost none of them have come back. I was surprised. I read it yesterday. I mean, I've been saying this for years, and this is real. You're going to get money. When we get money, he said that most of the people who became wealthy, they didn't remember God. So I would not recommend to you a vision to be rich. I don't think it's a good vision. Yeah, even for a businessman, that's what I'm telling you, for a businessman and a worker, it's not a good vision. A good vision is the vision of God. Yeah. Yeah. And today, God is touching on businessmen because when we started, I was pointing out those of you who say you are selling this, you are selling that, and I say church is the main work for you and the main thing in your mind. Some of you were questioning it. That's why God was telling you, never quote certain scriptures again. They are only for men of God and for pastors. It doesn't apply to you again from today. Hallelujah. Amen. Perish. Perish. Churches perish. Yeah. Churches perish when they don't have the vision. The vision to work for God. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm giving you 25 reasons why mega church and church work must be your heart. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, interesting, the word is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. The word vain is empty. That your work or your labor is not empty. Which is how most jobs are empty. Yes. Empty. It is some emptiness and hollowness in the work that you are doing. And when you are diagnosed with a disease, and when you are informed you are going to die. Recently, I was looking at somebody's, what do you call it, diagnosis and so on. They were giving the person some months. Yes. To live. You know, when you look at all those things, you realize that whatever work you are doing, even if you die, you see that all the things that will be said about you, your work will not even come in at all. But it will just be the church part, the part that was not empty. That is the part of you that will be mentioned. Yeah. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not empty or vain. That is the labor that is not empty. The rest is empty. So this verse is talking about the vision you must have is a vision to work for the Lord. Which is written at the top of the gate there, work for the Lord. And you see, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and movable. The two words steadfast and unmovable sound like they are the same. In fact, one of the meaning of steadfast is unmovable, and unmovable too means unmovable. But the word steadfast, yeah, so he's trying to tell you immovable, immovable twice. That this work there, immovable, immovable twice, times two. Times two, emphasis. You must be very wild in your resistance to be moved away from the work of God. Yes. You must be very wild about it. Immovable, immovable. But I like another meaning of the word steadfast. It means to sit down. Yes, to sit down. It comes from the word sit down. So it's like the work of God, sit on it and say, that's where I am. Yes, don't get up at all. So sit down on the work of God. Sit on it and say, sorry, I'm sitting here. Because you see now that you are sitting where you are, it's not easy for you to move. Yeah. You'll be there. Yeah. Sit down. Because the other works are empty. So I'm not saying that you may need to do all the other jobs you are doing, but you should have in your mind that this thing I'm doing is empty. The real vision, the real work is to work for the Lord. So when a businessman or a teacher, a school teacher, and whatever doesn't have the work of God, it doesn't have the real part. It's like all the things you have are empty without one thing that has something in it. You don't have just one element of substance. Yes. And the work is pure and simple. It's the church. Yes. The church work is the work. Now, that verse, it says always abounding. That word always abounding is the word superabound. Yeah. It means to superabound. It's like to do excess, superfluous. Another word is superfluous. Things that are not necessary, you do all of them. Yes, you do extra. Instead of doing the minimal, the smallest amount, you do far more than is necessary for you. Far more. Super abound in the work of the Lord. So, my dear friend, I know that many people despise the work of God, but you are going to sit on it. Yes. Yes. Every church must have a shouter. Yes, a shouter who shouts, Manawa Wabie. If your church doesn't have a shouter, you are missing something. Every church needs a shouter, Manawa Wabie. We are sitting here today. Because we know what we want. Amen. Amen. So, Proverbs 29 verse 18 again. Without the vision, the church doesn't do well. Businesses don't do well. You know, recently I met some of my business people, and I gave them a vision to build churches. And I said, this is how much I've designed a church that you can finish completely. Roof, paint, doors, everything. That they can have church in, nice painted church of a figure. And I gave them that vision that it will cost this amount. Since I gave them the vision, they have been flooding me with, like, because the church, the amount is such that you can build the full amount. You can build a complete church. Yeah. Since then, they've been flooding me with churches. And when we give it, you know, 4 weeks or whatever, we build, we send you a picture. That's your church. We built it. And in the church, I've never had businessmen sponsoring like that. But when I gave them the vision, life came into them and it's working. So without a vision, it's like people don't do well. So now that I saw that challenge, you can build a church. We put a plaque there. These are the pastors from 1972. This one and this one was funded by this person, built by this person, dedicated by this person. The list is there. Small plaque. And that. See, even yesterday night, somebody came and said, I've given you one church. They said, I'll be back. I will be what? I'll be back. I see you doing wonders. 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 Yeah. The vision brings life and takes away the perishing. Yes. The emptiness. Even my personal church that I'm going to build, I've also become more, as they are doing it, I've also become stirred up that I want to move to my project. Not a house or a church. Yeah. So the vision, it gives life to the meat that is spoiling. Yes. A lot of meat you buy, you eat is spoiled. The frying hard is like a very hard thing, but it's because it's spoiled. How many have bought some wache or something and said that the meat is... I'm telling you the reason why it's hard. It's not normally hard like that. Yeah, it was getting spoiled. You think they want to make losses. They have to fry the thing hard like. This is the big vision. Now, I don't know what vision you can have for your life. But this is the number one vision. I will build my church. Matthew 16. I will build my church. Amen. Amen. Number two. The second reason why we must have a mega church is that the desire to build a mega church will lead you onto a journey. Amen. The desire for a mega church will lead you to a journey that is good for you. Amen. Your desire or your vision for a mega church, whether you are a pastor, whether you are a businessman, whether you are a school teacher, it will lead you. Visions lead you. Your vision makes you. You don't make your vision. Your vision makes you do things. You don't even know that you are doing it. If I was in power, if I was in a political party and I was in power, and I have a vision of being there for a long time, I would do things to please and impress large groups of people. Not necessarily what is right, if that was all that my aim was. To stay there so that I can be there and do whatever I want to do as long as... And that is what they do, because that is their aim. So the things may not agree with your mind, but I will do something that will please this group. Then I'll do something that will please these people. Then I'll do something that will please... And the larger the groups I can please, the longer you can be there. So the things don't make sense anymore at a point. So your vision leads you on a journey that people don't understand. Yes. People don't understand. Where are you going? What are you doing? Yeah. They don't understand. What are you doing? Yeah. So that's why we don't understand lawyers sometimes. But don't you know that what you are saying is not true? Say, you don't understand. This man's very rich. Every day I go to court, I get so much money. This man's very rich. So That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get my money. Yeah. Why are you doing a cesarean section? This woman can deliver normally. The baby's head is small enough. It can come out. It's, oh, you don't understand, you know. When we set up a drip, when we admit you 4 days, 5 days, every day you sleep there, we get this. You don't understand the person. So the vision of the person is guiding you. You don't know that you are being guided by your vision. You don't know how it is leading you. So my vision to have a church and to do the work of God led me to Korea. Led me to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I went for a conference. I was following Hagen. What happened to me when I was listening to a preaching and the anointing came on me, made me change my life. Made me go to Tulsa. When I had enough money to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I flew there. It will make you go to programs. So the anointing is here. We are going there. It will make you travel. It will make you read books. One of the most boring magazines I ever saw was a magazine called Church Growth Magazine. Every day when I open it, I'll see Yonggi Cho's writing, long writing with no paragraphs. And they were always writing that the way you can have a big church is to have a vision. And I said, this is a very boring magazine. Every day, have a vision, have a vision, have a vision. I don't understand it. But you see, my interest in having a church made me eventually go towards this boring magazine, which nowadays publish my articles also. And pictures, yes. But I'm saying that your vision makes you do certain things. So what is your vision? And that's why if you are a businessman and your aim is for the church to work, you see that it will guide you along certain lines. Yeah. But if your aim is just to have more money, you soon see that you are compromising. You are telling lies. You are stealing. You are cheating. You are doing everything that is wrong. You get it? You are building something that is $9 million. Your invoice is $15 million. Clearly. Clearly. Eh? Clearly. You build a hospital that is supposed to be $40 million. Your invoice is clearly $50 million. Creaming off a cool $10 million. And you say, oh, God is blessing me. God has blessed me with a contract. But you are a thief. You are a liar. Your vision has made you a thief. Your vision has made you a liar. Your vision has made you a liar. Yeah. And since your vision is to get more money, when you have an opportunity, you always go for such things. Because it's only money that you want. You present yourself as though, oh, I want to do this for this. But instead of doing that, what you do is that you change the figures. So that something that's 25 million, you make it 26 million. Then later you say, I've donated 1 million. Huh? And you don't even, it doesn't even occur to you anymore. It's 26 million. You change it to 26 million and say you've donated 1 million. But all you've done is to adjust the figures and cream off some amount. Because your vision is to get the money. The topic that you preach will change because of your vision. The journey, the people you are attracted to. You will not be attracted to thieves. Yes. Because your vision is to build the church. I will build my church. I'm telling you. Have it as a vision. We are in the church. You know. I've been pastoring the church for more than 30 years. The same church. So I must have known people over the years. You can't pastor a church. And it's one of the biggest churches in the country. You can't pastor a church and not know so many people have come up to them doing business, doing this, doing that, travel abroad, all these things. I've known them. And the years have gone by. Years and years have gone by. We have now entered the bracket. You see, from 50 going is the age where diseases are diagnosed. That's the era where cancers come more frequently. That's the era where people die more frequently. And so we have reached that realm. These are the things that we are seeing now. Not weddings and beloved-oses. We are seeing the end of the things. And people have come up with different things. I'm going to build this. I'm going abroad to get this. I'm traveling here to go and do this. It has amounted to nothing. I'm still here. I'm still waiting for all the things to materialize. Nothing has materialized, and we have entered into this season also. Evening has come. We are in the twilight zone. Yeah. All the visions have amounted to nothing, except the one vision. I will build my church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. This is what is remaining. I'm telling you, it's still going strong. And I've noticed of late, pastors who don't really talk much about church work, church planting, I'm talking about big pastors, not in Ghana, I'm not talking about anybody in Ghana. I've noticed them saying how they are going to build churches now. We are going to build churches. I want to build church. And people can see that we've wasted time and money on all kinds of empowerment visions. This vision, we are going into farming, we are going into industry, we are into mining, we are into whatever. Shelley! What is the meaning of Shelley? Empty. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not empty. It's not shelly. Hey! Are you listening to me? Yeah. So I need you in your heart to be determined to do the work of ministry. I need you to be determined. Because this is going to lead you on a journey. The books you read, you'll be reading church growth books. Whilst you are reading the church growth book, you'll get a revelation even for your business. Amen. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. You even get a revelation for your business. I've had people tell me, I was reading Anakazu, and I saw how I can do whatever in the bank. Yeah. That's what Lablam means. The topic that you preach will change because of your vision. The journey, the people you are attracted to. You will not be attracted to thieves. Yes. Because your vision is to build the church. I will build my church. I'm telling you, have it as a vision. We are in the church, you know. I've been pastoring the church for more than 30 years. The same church. So I must have known people over the years. You can't pastor a church. And it's one of the biggest churches in the country. You can't pastor a church and not know so many people have come up to them doing business, doing this, doing that, travel abroad, all these things. I've known them. And the years have gone by. Years and years have gone by. We have now entered the bracket. You see, from 50 going is the age where diseases are diagnosed. That's the era where cancers come more frequently. That's the era where people die more frequently. And so we have reached that realm. These are the things that we are seeing now. Not weddings and beloved-oses. We are seeing the end of the things. And people have come up with different things. I'm going to build this. I'm going abroad to get this. I'm traveling here to go and do this. It has amounted to nothing. I'm still here. I'm still waiting for all the things to materialize. Nothing has materialized, and we have entered into this season also. Evening has come. We are in the twilight zone. Yeah. All the visions have amounted to nothing, except the one vision. I will build my church. Jesus said, "I'll build my church." This is what is remaining. I'm telling you, it's still going strong. And I've noticed of late, pastors who don't really talk much about church work, church planting. I'm talking about big pastors, not in Ghana. I'm not talking about anybody in Ghana. I've noticed them saying how they are going to build churches now. We are going to build churches. I want to build church. And people can see that we've wasted time and money on all kinds of empowerment visions. This vision, we are going into farming, we are going into industry, we are into mining, we are into whatever. Shelley! What is the meaning of Shelley? Empty. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not empty. It's not shilling. Hey! Are you listening to me? Yeah. So I need you in your heart to be determined to do the work of ministry. I need you to be determined. Because this is going to lead you on a journey. The books you read, you'll be reading church growth books. Whilst you are reading the church growth book, you'll get a revelation even for your business. Amen. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. You even get a revelation for your business. I've had people tell me, I was reading Anakazu, and I saw how I can do whatever in the bank. Yeah. That's why Lablam means learn about business by learning about ministry. Yeah. Because that's the only way I think I can help a businessman. Charlie, you learn about ministry. As you learn about ministry, you see the secret. Even what I'm doing now is a secret for business. Concentrate on the main thing that you are supposed to be doing. Yeah. Don't start so many things. Each thing you start is a new business on its own. Yeah. We used to have a printing press. A whole printing press. We print from beginning to end. We were producing our books. At a point I look, I said, no. This thing is a diversion. It's a distraction. I called all the printers, the workers, everybody. I said, it's a decision. Close down. We are closing down. When I look at the cost, because the government has policies that make it cheaper to import books than to print. Yeah, it's cheaper. Far cheaper. Far cheaper. It doesn't make sense. Just like it's cheaper to import chicken than to grow it here in Mampong. Far, the local one is about 50 cedis, and the imported one, 15 cedis, you get a full chicken. Huh? Chicken that have been frozen for about 5 years. Some of you were in SS when it was killed. You were in SS. When it was killed, it has been frozen for 5 years. You were in senior secondary school when it was killed and has been frozen since SS till now. Yeah, I mean, another government was in power when the chicken died. Since that chicken died, and it's now come for you to eat. And that's, some are more than 5 years. More. Some are, when they come, some of them are covered with green. And they scrape it off. Oh, yes. But the government have these policies. All the governments we've had have these policies. It doesn't matter which party. The same. And you wonder why they don't. It will never make sense to you till you know the visions that the people have. Something else is guiding them that you don't know about. That's why nothing can work. Farm cannot work. Rice farm cannot work. Chicken cannot work. Cow cannot work. This cannot work. Nothing. The people that import the things, when you go into, you find out why. Yeah. Hey. So the behavior of a person looks strange according to his vision. That's why I said that your vision will lead you. You don't know what you are doing. No. But I said that you are going on a journey. And if you have a vision to build a church, to build a mega church, you will be led on the best journey for your whole life, I tell you. You'll be led on the best journey for your whole life. Yes. To sit there and not be panting. That's why now I say every church should put more chairs than the people in the church. Fill the church with chairs. So that when you come to church and you see the empty chairs, you, the pastor, you see that you start to develop high fever. We don't spread out the chairs again. Pack the chairs and see where you stand. Instead of a vision, as for me, I'll marry this year. This year, I'll marry in the name of Jesus. You must rather have a vision. This year, I will build a church of God. Yeah. And you will see that you will marry faster than the beautiful girls. You may be Miss Ugly, but I tell you, you will be chosen before Miss what wonderful. Miss Beauty. Be chosen. It will lead you. It will lead you for a meeting. It will lead you to a prayer meeting. It will lead you to some good person. It will lead you to have a committee meeting with somebody. It will lead the person to look twice at you. You'll be surprised at where it will lead you. Yeah. A vision for a church, mega church, is the best vision, and it is a good vision because it leads you. You don't even know what you are doing. If you sit with the politicians and you talk to them, you see that they don't realize how much they are controlled by their vision. They have the vision. It controls them. It controls everybody's vision. My vision is controlling me. My vision is controlling. That's why I built a prayer garden. I pray a prayer garden. I want people to pray, and I want us to pray. So, you see, why? What are you? Do you know how much is the land? Don't ask me. Yes. You know how much is the land? It's just there for prayers. In my vision, so to you, it doesn't make sense. But according to the vision that I have, it makes a lot of sense. It's driving me along a journey. Number three, you must have a mega church because the prophetic destiny of every church is that you will have a bigger, greater end than the beginning. Prophetically, the end will be great. So you must have a vision that is in line with the prophecy. Yes. Job 8 verse 7. That's the prophecy. That thy latter end should greatly increase. Amen. So, you must have a mega church because that vision for a mega church. Why? Because prophetically, that's what's going to happen. There will be big church at the end. And it's happening. The church has never been bigger. It's bigger now. And it will get even bigger. So, the church that you have is going to be very big. Yeah, it's going to be very prophetically. Yeah. And you see, a prophecy is like a river that is going this way. It's better to tell somebody, I'm going this way. That's the way that the river is going. Rather than say, I'm going this way when the river is going this. Have you ever swum in a river? Who has ever swum in a river? I mean a big river. Which river did you swim in? Huh? What's the name?
This way.
This way? You swam or you walked?
We swim.
We don't know the river.
It becomes so big, you know, during the raining season. You know, and when we're younger, you know, it's easier for you to swim with it this way, downstairs. Because when you go up, you are going against the current.
You were swimming or walking?
Swimming.
Yes. I've also swum in a river. When the river is going this way and you're going this way, pray about it. Yeah. You may never, if you come into the river from here, if you come into the river from here and you say you are going here, you will be swimming, realize that you are going this way. And then when you want to come out of the river, you are far from where you came in. Yeah. Because you are going against what God has made that is going this way. God made every river to go a particular way. And you want to go the other way. Okay, it's on to you. You are welcome to hard work. God has prophesied. Your latter end shall greatly increase. That's the word of the Lord for us. The latter end shall be greatly increased. So you must now move towards mega, 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 mega churches everywhere. Sit down. Where are the pastors from the north? Tamale upwards. Where are you guys? This from Panda, isn't it? Bimbila, Yendi, Salaga, Wale Wale, Boku. Boku. I can't hear you. Nadoli. Jirapa, Boku, Wa, Tamale, Gushegu. Where is Gushegu? Uh-huh. Tatale. Beautiful. You know, when you see the pictures of the churches, what I realize now is that all the churches are growing.
Amen.
Yes. All of them are growing. Yeah. All of them. At first, it was like, Tele, Sammy, you can't hear the town. What town? Bole? Chiriponi? Tamale? 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 Bamboy? They are all becoming big.
Wow.
Yeah, if you see the pictures, you'll be amazed. And they are having a lot of buildings now. Churches are becoming bigger. Because that's the prophecy. It will be bigger and bigger and bigger.
Amen.
Yeah. Bolga. He's stammering. Yape. Beautiful. Oh, are you all from Bolga? Okay. Tamale. Okay. Sit down. And this way. Wale Wale. We pay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oil, they will find oil there. Amen. All this time, you'll be surprised. Yeah. All of them, they are all pastors from the north. It's working. So the graduates from this school. Graduates from this school. Yeah. Thank you. You can sit down. That you see, when we started some years ago, you see, I mean, even how to stay there. Because if there is nothing in Accra, what about Chiriponi and what about... Yes. Yape. What is in Yape? We are just about to build a building. Dawa number 2. Yeah. Hey. More. The latter end shall be greatly increased. So it's better to find out which way is the river going. It's going this way, then you flow. It's going this way, then you just flow towards it. All the things will work then. Things don't work because it's not time for it to work. Many things don't work because it's not time to work. Yes. Bishop Oyedepo was asked, why does he think his church is working? He said, because it's time. It's time for it to work. Time has come for it to work. Because he had been there before, it didn't work. Certain churches, it didn't work. He said, it's because it's time. It's time to work. May it be time for you to work in Jesus' name. It's time. It's time for the thing to work. It's time. That's the time for the thing to become big. And that's what it will become. It will become very big. Yes. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. And that vision, as for me, I want to flow with the prophecy. What God is doing, I want to do. As I'll build my church, may I feel very comfortable in that vision. Never have a vision to be rich. Never. Reaching to be rich, to do anything else. Just have a vision for God. All other people will have this vision for years. It will never materialize. But you have a vision to do the work of a businessman. Everybody who prays John 15:7, have that vision. And watch and see. Watch and see. Yeah. Everything that you have not had a vision for, God will give it to you. And like I told you, as a local boy, you wouldn't have prayed for certain things. Yeah. You know, one day I entered a place I had not entered before, and I said, hey, I'm a local boy. I never knew this place existed. You are going to discover places that local boys have not discovered. I'm going to discover them. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's time. It's time for the thing to be big. It's time for my businessmen to prosper enough to build churches on their own. It's time. It's time. It's time for me to be surrounded with people who have money, can pay for things. Say, please, take this, take this, take this, and do. I heard you mentioning something. Take this one. Yes. It's never been. You have been in the church for a long time. Have you not been in the church for a long time?
A long time, by the grace.
And since which era?
Canteen.
Yes. Yes.
He has been in the church since the canteen. It has never been. And people come and say, oh, take this. Build a church. A man that can build foundation, roof, painting, doors, metal doors, everything with the name on the church written on it. Huh? It's time. Tell somebody it's time. Kayamo shate bakabalambo no mola baba. Kayambara mama. Mega church. Church growth. Church planting. Say it's time.
It's time.
Mega church. Church planting. Church growth. It's time for all those things. It's time for you to read these books again. Yeah. It's time for you to see that, Charlie, this is the revelation that God has given us. This is the secret to so many things. Number four. You must have a mega church because most pastors are deceived into thinking that the work is being done when it is not actually being done. Yeah. Satan wants your church to be small. The fewer people you have in your congregation, the more captive Satan has. The size of your church shows you to what extent you are depopulating hell. When you have a mega church, it means you are establishing more souls. It also means that souls have escaped from the clutches of the devil. The harvest truly is plenteous. And the laborers are few. So let us believe what Jesus says rather than believing what we feel. That the harvest is plenty. Amen. So the fourth reason is that we don't have to be deceived that it's been done. When Jesus told us that the harvest is plenty, they said, oh, it's not true. It's not true. The harvest is not plenty. Look. How many want to fall? Huh? When Jesus says something, don't disagree. When you disagree with Jesus, what he says, God has spoken. So, it's not true. You will be shocked. That will be your end. When Jesus told Judas, told Peter, today you betray me. Peter said, me? Tofi akwa. I refuse it. That's what Peter said. Tofi akwa. When Jesus told Peter that you will betray me tonight, he should have knelt down and said, Lord, I beg you. I beg you, pray for me. Pray for me that what you are saying will not happen. He said, God forbid, me, I will never betray you. All men may betray you, but me, I will never betray you. Now, that speaks of the greatest kind of pride. Now, what does pride do? God resists or fights the proud. So God said, okay, I will fight you, Peter. Now, a man of great courage who stood against people with swords. God fought him and resisted him because he disagreed with Jesus. Now, a little girl came to him, not people with swords. When the people with swords came, he said, oh, God, God. But when the little girl came, he started shocking. He said, me, I swear, I don't know you. So you must be careful of saying something opposite to what Jesus said. When Jesus said this, he said, it's not true, it's this. That's what makes people fall. If he says you are weak, say, I'm weak, please, I'm weak. I beg you to pray for me for the reason. Me, I'm not weak. I say, I don't have that problem. You don't have that problem, man. That's why it becomes a problem. Because we always disagree with what Jesus is saying.
And he says, the harvest is plenty. And you are saying, oh, nowadays most people are born again. Nowadays the churches are everywhere. We have too many churches even. We don't need all this. There are so many prophets. We don't need all this. As soon as you say that, you start. You are slapped. You are rebuking God. The harvest plenty is no, it's not plenty. As you see, most of everybody here, Mampong, Eburi, Edukrom, Obosuma City, churches, Methodist, Presby, Pentecost, this, that. There's no, Lighthouse. We have so many charismatic. Where are all the pastors? We have so many. You have. If you step even outside Ghana, if you go a bit further, that's where you see. How far from complete is the Great Commission? And pastors, we sit down slapping Jesus in the face. That is not true. The harvest bed, though, is not true. There are a lot of churches everywhere. And that's what we are saying in our heart. And that's why we are falling at the next opportunity. God forbid. You'll be standing at the next opportunity. You'll be standing at the next opportunity. Amen. Harvest is plenty. Finish. Let that be your mind. Because when you read them, you say, there are so many churches these days. Churches should pay tax. This and that. There are whatever. Have there ever been as much evil in Ghana as there is today? Has there been as much evil in Ghana? I read on one of these things, they said 97% of all youth in Ghana use watch pornography regularly, whether it's daily, hourly, weekly, monthly, or yearly. Regularly, 97% of all the youth in Ghana by a Ghanaian study. Yes. So, what is the first reason why we must have a mega church? Because what? It is an appropriate vision. Number two, what's the second reason? Because it will lead you on a good journey. Is that not so? To lead you on a good journey. Number three, because it is the prophetic destiny. The thing is going that way. So just join it, isn't it? Number four, pastors are deceived into thinking that the work has been done. There is no need of any mega church. Isn't it? Yeah, no need of any mega church. So, harvest is not plenty. It's mostly smallish now. Jesus is outdated. He should update his records. Number five. The next reason why we must have a mega church is because God's will is that his house may be filled. Luke 14:23. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Amen. This story is the master's story about how he sent out his servants and said, go even to the hedges, to the highways, to places that you wouldn't have gone, because I want my house to be filled. Amen. Now, when we go to churches on a normal Sunday, not a convention day, where you haven't gathered anybody from anywhere, you see that most churches are not full. True or not true? And some people have reduced the number of chairs in their churches to give the illusion of being full. Huh? and space out the chairs. Spreading. But from now, your vision is in line with the word of God. Amen. My church, my house must be filled. And it is not filled because we are not going to the highways and the hedges. The last part of the church to be filled are the highways and hedges. That's what will fill the church. Churches don't get filled till you go to highways and hedges. You have to go a bit far. Yes. Bishop Oedipo has the largest church probably in the world. And about 400,000 people come to church on Sunday. They go far. The members come from far. Until you go to highways. Even I had one pastor built, somebody built a whole building for them on the island. They said he has not got a vision to have any church there on Sunday. So the people have to come. He has not had that vision. Yeah. He has a clear vision. My house must be filled here. This is the house. Yeah. Doesn't have that vision. So he has built a full church. He said, no. It should be there. This is the vision. Yes. Highways and hedges. Every church here will be filled. I just saw it, and you will have people outside. Yes. There will be people sitting outside. So buy chairs and put them outside. And have faith. Yes. Canopies. Now I have canopies outside with chairs outside. Permanent. Yes. And it's getting filled. My house may be filled. Yeah. A full church is the vision. So you can't sit there and be happy with a few people. It must jigger you. How many have ever been with people and you had something like a running stomach or your stomach was upset, but people didn't know? That was what was happening to you. And you were sweating at the top here. How many have had that experience? What is it called? You have been jiggered. Jiggerment. Jiggerization. You've been jiggerized. So as a pastor, you look at the congregation and you realize that you have been jiggerized. And you are sweating. Yeah. But if you just arrange a few chairs and it's full, say, I'm anointed. We are not anointed, we are. The whole church is full. You're saying the whole church is full. No. That my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. Stop deceiving yourself with multiple services. Oh, when you add the first and the second and the third service, then it's full. Stop that. Stop that deception. One service, full. Then you know that your church is working. Every service must be full. Yes, we can stop deceiving. Oh, the first service people and the second service and the first service and the second service. That's what a lot of pastors do. Say, I have 47 in the first service, 78 in the second service. In the third service, we are 63. When you put it all together, it's about 300. You can't even add two properly. But when I add the children, we are like 600. Just accept that the house is not filled. Yes, accept that the house is not filled. Yes. One service must be full. Yes. From end to end. Chairs. Yes, with canopies outside. People are waiting. People are what? Waiting. Look, even the population of Ghana, soon we'll be about 90 million. We are 30 now. So all we have to, all 30 of us have to give birth once. We become 60. We are getting to Nigeria. Yes, Nigeria size. Ghana would be like Nigeria. Like a lot of people. No. In terms of human beings. It will also affect the church. More people. Yes. More. So prepare for expansion. Yes. Are you listening to me? I will build my church. It's the vision of God. Yes. They shall be filled. The branches will be filled. Yeah. Now, one of the ways to have a mega church is to have branches. So we must all be people with branches. And if you can't have one large one and you have a number of branches, it's also a mega church. Amen. Amen. So plant churches and God is going to bless you mightily. They will be filled. They will be filled. Now back to the businessman. You are thinking to yourself, teach us secrets of equity and financial engineering. No, I'm teaching you secret of church work and vision. Yes. It really helps your business. Yes, to help you. You know, up till now, people who do only business, but they are not into church work, they usually either become liars, thieves. But those who do the church work and then are doing the business, you see that they are different. Yeah. So that's why I'm telling you that for a businessman, this is a good vision. Because we are in the church. We've been at it for some years now. Most of the bishops are 50 years and beyond. So they've seen some things. So I'm teaching the people who are into secular work, business, whatever. Be a churchman. Be a churchman. Have a vision that the church will be for. Then as your business goes forward, then you see that. It purifies you and even keeps you from evil. Because you see that there are certain things you can't do. Yeah. Why should you go to prison? You'll never go to prison in Jesus' name. Because the fact that you are such a churchman keeps you from evil. Yes. Yeah. Almost all the people I can remember, they either become liars, thieves, and they don't support the work. Apart from even supporting the work, they don't even support the work, but apart from that, they backslide. Yes. They backslide. You will not backslide. So my house is going to be filled. Yes. No more empty churches. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as you go back, expect the house to be filled. Amen. Buy chairs, fill the place with chairs. Amen. God is going to do it. Amen. Number 6.
You must have a mega church because the harvest field that we have is the whole world. The gospel in Mark 16 verse 15, go ye into all the world. So, if the whole world is our field, then how can the church ever be small? Because we have members from the whole world. Let's take our brethren from the north. Stand up again. Northern pastors. Yes. How can our church be small when all these are from the north? Different towns. We are not doing political campaign, but we are present in all these places. So when we hear election results, or we hear of violence, or we hear of any news, we have interest in so many places. Yeah. So the church becomes bigger, and you see that soon a percentage of the population are members of UD. A percentage of the country. It's difficult to go to a place without meeting our people. How many have realized that? Yeah. Everywhere you go, you just meet somebody. Say, oh, I'm here. Your people are here. Yeah. Your boys are here. Amen. So the field, the whole world is our field. So it can never be a small thing. No. Because the world, we are looking at the world. Sit down. Who is from Rwanda here? I need Rwandans. Anybody from Rwanda? Some Rwandans? Yeah, these guys are Rwandans. But Rwandans, they are university graduates. They are in the Bible school for some years. We have interest in Rwanda. Not business interests, church interests. These are, apart from our churches that are there, these are Rwandans that are being trained. These are some of them. There are more of them around. They've finished university in Rwanda. They have come here, Bible school, 3 years. Yes. We have interest there. Hey, it cannot be a small church. Yeah. It cannot be. Yeah. It can't be. It cannot be. Yeah. So, once you see the entire field clearly, you can never have a small thing. Yeah. You can never have a small thing. Because the world is the field. Yeah. But it's when the world is not the field, and that small town is only your field, then you see that a church, a big thing, is not possible for you. Yeah. These guys, this is Brighton, this is who? Eugene, yeah. I know them. They are around all the time. And you one day you see so many Rwandans. I say, so where do you get all these people from? You see. A big thing, you are part of it. I say, a big thing, you are part of it. A big thing, you are part of it. Amen. A mega church, you are part of it. Amen. Sit down. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, number 7. You must have a mega church because the biblical example of churches had thousands of members. They had what? Thousands of members. That's the biblical example. In Acts chapter 2 verse 41, the Bible says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church about 3,000 souls. And they joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. Now, when you go to Israel, yeah, When you go to Israel, you'll be there. One of the things you see is that Jerusalem, as they are describing here, is like Jamestown in Accra. So when you are driving into Jerusalem from Jericho, you drive into Jerusalem from Jericho. Jericho is an oasis in the desert. It's a very, very, very old city. Two important miracles happened. The blind Bartimaeus was outside the gate, and then Zacchaeus was in the tree in Jericho. So when you are coming from Jericho into Jerusalem, you see so many houses. It's like a normal city. But that's not Jerusalem as these disciples were describing. You have to keep going. Then you come and you see walls around. And that those walls is original Jerusalem. What they call the old city. It's a small place. That's where they had 3,000 people. That's where they had 3,000 people.
Okay.
When you go to Russia, when you go to Moscow, it's the same thing. You'll be there.
Amen.
When you go to Moscow, you come to what they call the Kremlin. And you see the walls going round the whole place. Very high walls. And inside are these buildings and so on. And like that is like the supposedly the seat of government or whatever. All so many things in there. You know, but it was actually a city. This is all famous cities have this feature. You just have a small place, which was the original city. Then it has expanded way beyond what it used to be. So the Kremlin is like that in Moscow. Jerusalem is like that when you go to Jerusalem. Jamestown is also like that. That was British Accra.
British Accra.
Yes. That was Accra in those days. And Asha Fort was built. That was the fort. You get it? Yeah. So 3,000. In Accra today, it's not a small thing to get 3,000 members in this big city. Now, how much more this small city? And 3,000 people were brought in a day. Yes. So I'm just trying to explain that the 3,000 may be something like 20,000 for us today. Yeah. So the numbers we are talking about are not small numbers. Yes. So if you have a small vision, you see that it doesn't generate the bigness that God wants you to have. And you need to have a vision, a number. There must be a number in your head and a number for the church to know. Recently, I was telling my church, 10,000. But when I came to the First Love Church, I had a vision for 1,000 because it was about 200 people that were there. And I felt very ashamed and afraid that would we ever be 1,000? Yes. But by the grace of God, we've passed the 1,000. So now, our vision is, we have to have a number. So now our vision has popped to 10,000, but we are almost about to give up that vision. Because we at 31st, we were almost there, or we were there. Yes. Swollen Sunday, we have about 8,000. But the vision is more than that. Yes. Now, Yonggi Cho said that there are two types of bamboo. Big bamboo and small bamboo. And those who plant their bamboo in a big bamboo farm always have big bamboos. So you are either planting in a small bamboo farm or a big bamboo farm. And if you are in the big bamboo farm, it's a big bamboo you get. And if it's a small bamboo, you get a small one. You are in a big bamboo farm.
Amen.
I said, you are in a big bamboo farm. And you are planted amongst big bamboos.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. So your vision must be big. And you must have a number. Now we are soon going to have bishops in many other places that you may be surprised. Each bishop is going to either oversee a number of churches or a number of church buildings. Yes, some of the places it will be because of the population, it will be spread over with many, many, many little churches all over with buildings. Yes, some will have a large congregation, some different types of bishop. You will see some of them, you will see that some of them will not even speak English well. They'll be bishop, the man of God. Man of God is not about English, it's about being a man of God. Yeah.
Helping us.
Yes. Your vision must be big. Your vision must be big. You must have a number, a number, a number. Is it seven buildings? Now, when it comes to a building, a minimum buildings are seven. Why do I say that? Because Jesus in Revelation was standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Yes. And the candlesticks were the seven churches that he was standing in the midst of. So every bishop must be standing in the midst of at least seven buildings or seven churches around you. Yes. Don't say it's possible as though I'm saying it's possible to go to the stars. It is real. I say it is real. It's a real thing that we are saying. Don't say it's possible like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. One day in the blue sky or somewhere by and by, in the sweet by and by, it may happen. No, it is practical and real. Yes. And now that people have been released to build churches, it's just going to be happening all over the place. And when they ask you, so you at all, how did you become a bishop? You just, as I said, I am standing in the midst of seven candlesticks. That's how come I became a bishop. I'm standing in the midst of seven gold candlesticks. Yes. So our national vision. I told a bishop in Kenya, I need you to build seven cathedrals. I told him about 2 years ago. I said, I need you to build seven cathedrals in Kenya. Yes, nothing less. Stand in the midst of the seven of them. And right now, he has got, they are on the fourth. Yes, cathedral. That will be finished in a few months, all the four. Yeah. Different towns. Yeah. Don't be angry with visions. Don't be angry with visions. It's a good vision. It's a good vision. And you'll be surprised. It purifies. It's making my businessmen rich. They are sowing seeds. I told one guy, he gave money to build a full church. I told him that this may be the greatest investment. All these investment things you have been doing, this one alone may be the greatest you have ever and will ever do. Yes. That you alone have built a church. Yeah. 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 And that's why none of us should be proud, because even if you are standing in the middle of seven churches, some people built it. Yeah, somebody brought money from somewhere and built it. So you cannot do anything without me. I also cannot do anything without you. Yes. They without us are not made perfect. Yeah. So, churches, more churches are going to be built. And it's, you must have in your heart that it's always worrying you. Yeah, it's worrying you. You know, this week I called on some of the pastors in Zimbabwe. I said, all of you guys come. I bought tickets for all of them. Come. I want to see them. I'm concerned about Zimbabwe, my church in Zimbabwe. Yes. I've called all. They're all here. Yes. Ish. Yes. God told me, if you want to live, build my church. I said, please, I beg you. I want to build a church. You neglect the church at your own peril. I'm telling you. There is nothing higher. You see, the first rank in the church is apostle. And it's not there for nothing. It tells you its importance in the list of things that can be done. Many things can be done in the church. Many things. None of them is in the rank of the apostle. None of them. When you set it aside or you make it secondary, you've made your life secondary. Yes. When you make it secondary, you make your life secondary. All the things we are doing will be gone and the church will be there. Yes. They'll be gone. And the church will be there. Breathing, moving, working, everything, growing. Seven candlesticks, you stand in it around. Yeah. In Accra, we must be having seven cathedrals all over. In your town, seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We'll be gone. 50 years. You know, on Saturday, yesterday I was about to say 50 years, and I realized it's true. All of us will be wiped out. 50 years. Where will we be? What will last is what will last. I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. My church will be there. Yes. You'll be gone, I'll be gone. But the church will be there. The church will be there. The churches will be there. Yes. There's apostle. There's prophet. There's evangelist. There's teacher. There's pastor. Number one is apostle, which means that number one is church work. It's always number one. It's never number two. And God told me, you have put my work at this church thing at number whatever. You have put some of the things higher. Yeah. I became scared. And it's the building of churches, not the building of super wonders that no one has ever seen before. Yes, because it's nothing. Nobody must build any super wonder. Just build a church and move on. Yeah. We are not interested in spectacular. No. Don't try to be great. Let the church be great. And you must be like the moon. You must be like the moon. The moon has no light of its own. It's just enjoying reflections. And you'll be surprised what the moon can do. How much light the moon can give. A few weeks ago, we had something called super moon. Super moon is when the moon is closest to the earth. Because it's going around and it's closest to the earth. It's the moon that caused the sea water to come and go. It's from the moon. People don't know. The tide, when it comes and goes, is from the moon. Yes. Yeah. It's from the moon. If the moon was gone, the water would just come and flood all of us. Yes. Well, you did philosophy or history or what? Yes. Now, on the day of the super moon, they gave the time as 2:37 a.m. There will be an eclipse. So as for me, I was praying the all night on my own. I was doing all night. So it was not a problem. So 2:30, I went out to look. The moon was there. And they said it's a super moon. It was almost daylight. You can almost read. Yeah. Meanwhile, you don't have any light of your own. Oh, fair reflection. You get what I'm saying? On a morning show, you are doing reflection and you are shining. So that's why I'm telling you to be like the moon. You are just reflecting the glory of God, but you are not trying to get any light for yourself. Yes. So the church should be built and the glory of the church will shine on you and then some small reflection will come. That's all. Don't try to be a light. Let the church speak. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. Yes. Very valuable. The church is Jesus' wife. The first Adam. God took the rib out. Made a wife. Here you are. The second Adam. They put the thorns on his head. Why? So that your head, you would think well. His head was suffered for your head to think well. Blood came out of his hand. Why? So that your work, your hands. Blood came out of his feet. Why? So that your walk with God would be beautiful. But when he was on the cross, he was beaten on his back. Why? By his stripes you are healed for your healing. But when he was on his cross, they took a spear and they pierced the second Adam. And out came the church, his new wife. Yes. The first Adam's wife came out of his side. And Jesus was pierced on the side. And his new wife, the bride, was born. In that moment, the blood of Jesus gave birth to the church of Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. Born with water and the blood. Yes. That is his wife. And for those whose wives are precious, it's a precious thing. And to build up his wife and build up his church. Make it beautiful. Huh. You may not understand what you are doing. So the mega church is more than the will of God. There are mysteries in the church. And mysteries in the building of the church. Yes. Mysteries in giving yourself to building it. I wonder how you see pastors. Building a school more than you build your church. The school is bigger than the church. The NGO is nicer than the church. The social aspect is better than the church. The school is richer, more people, and the church is micro. You don't understand. Yes. Yeah, you can do school, but you can't do church. You have energy and zeal. People can build things with slabs. Ground floor, first classroom, second classroom. The church, they say they need money. It's fantastic. You've left the church. For God to build you up, you must build the church. Watch and see. It doesn't go far. You will think you are doing something. But he never said, I will build my schools. He said, I will build my church. The school is a side blessing. It's not the main thing. Can never be and will never be. And your school that is standing there with the church small is a message to you that you have missed your direction in ministry. The effort that you put into building a school, you don't put that same effort into building the church. You have ideas for the school, but you don't have ideas for the church. Because the church is not in your heart. The vision to build the church is not in your heart. You have ideas for everything except ideas for the church. Yes. But the church is the bride of Christ. And you are rather investing in the watchman or some other person.
All right. 25 reasons why you must have a mega church. The Bible church had thousands of members. Number 8. You must have a mega church because having a large church means that more souls are being won to the church. In a large church, more souls are there. It means you've done the Great Commission more. If I'm able to get 100,000 people sitting in my church on Sunday, it means that I've been able to win so many souls that the ones that are left that were followed up and that came. The leftover from the outreach. That's the church. So the more souls, the more people in the church means more leftovers from your outreaches. Oh, I'm wrong. Is my calculation wrong? More people sitting there. You see, when you go out, many are called. They come to the crusade. They come for the outreach. They come, they give their life to Jesus. But how many stay? The people that stay on are the left, the result of your outreach. So if it's larger, it means that the result of your outreach is more. More souls have been brought in. That's what it means. That all the outreaches we've done in Accra, all the outreaches we've done on the campuses, in the towns, the outreaches, this is the result. Those are the souls that have been saved. So, a mega church means more of the Great Commission. Make yourself saviors of men. You have really accomplished it. When they are few, it means you haven't done much at all. The souls are out there roaming around, but you have not been able to gather them. Number 9. You must have a mega church because in a mega church, more laborers are released to work. Amen. More people work when there's a mega church. Matthew 9:38 in the Living Bible says, "The harvest is so great that the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his field." Now, more Christians need to work for the Lord. People need to be ushers. People need to be cleaners in the church. People need to be drivers. People need to be singers. People need to act plays. People need to do many things in the church. Communion. You see, when a person is in the church and doesn't do anything, the person develops all the diseases of diabetes, obesity. Because activity is one of the things that can reduce. And obesity will give you heart disease, high blood pressure, cancers, strokes, many things. And it comes from inactivity. Not that it comes. A lot is genetic, but a lot also comes from the activity, the job you do. If you sit at a computer doing whatever, you can grow very fat with backache. Can you imagine fat with backache? Yes. But if you have a job that makes you move, then you start to see that you lose weight and you become more healthy. Yes. So the less you walk, the less you move, the more unhealthy you are. And the more you are prone to diseases. So when you don't work and you don't move, you are not an usher. You are not a singer. You don't come for rehearsal. You don't clean the church. You don't help with the car park. You don't do security. You don't do anything. You get what I'm saying? And you keep on receiving the word. Diseases like hypertension,
stroke and other things, spiritual hypertension and spiritual, you develop high fever with a lot of bad thoughts. Yes. Watch all the people who don't do anything in the church. Watch them. Those who don't do it, they are just there. We are blessed. Oh, it was a good message. That's all. And then they go.
Sick members.
Watch them. Most of them are developing diseases. Breast cancer, apparently, can be reduced by 60% through weight loss. I read the headlines, British newspaper. I saw it. I bought it. 60% from weight loss. So not knowing that the fat is, which originally we used to feel that mostly high blood pressure and those kind of things, that's what it is doing. But apparently it contributes to prostate cancer, breast cancer, and many other cancers, apart from smoking and drinking. Yes. Yes. So you see 60% of oranguism can be removed by activity. 60% of disloyalty can be just taken away by making people active. Because when you start being active in the church, you realize that the pastor is a great man to deal with these people. The way I called them for meeting, nobody came. I come there, no one comes early. This one, and nobody is doing the work. Say, this is a very great man. Then your first good thought comes since you joined the church. That's the first time you had a good thought. Before that, you've not been having good thoughts. Every day you criticize. What is this message? It's the same message we had last time. Why don't we have something new? All those thoughts will go away when you start to work. Yes. Hypertension, strokes, diabetes, cancers, many things that you would have serious. These are serious life-threatening diseases. So, see that they will start going down because of you are just active. Things that threaten your Christianity, they start to reduce. You have no time to fornicate. Yes, because you are busy. You are in church. How can you fornicate? Can you fornicate in church? No. I'll postpone the fornication. And you keep postponing the fornication and it doesn't come on. So you must let... Mega church means a lot of people are working. And you must put more people to work. People must work in the church. No, you just come and sit down and just you are happy in the church. Even those who are too old for certain things, they should attend funerals for you. Yes. If you can't do that, attend funerals. Outdoors, and they should, because if you don't attend funeral, the church members will be very offended. You need representatives. So from the old to the young, everybody is working. The young children, you send them for rehearsal. Yes. Every child in the church must learn how to play the piano. Otherwise, he must be lashed. Yes. You are learning piano. Every day you learn piano and learn how to sing. That's all. When they are actively learning how to play the piano, they will be not have time to look on their phone. 8 years of looking at people having sex. At nine, they know things. One child told his mother, "Mommy, you think I don't know things? Mommy, you think I don't know things? I know things. I know things. What things do you know? Nine year old. Mommy, you think I don't know things? I know things. The children will be workers. The oldest will be workers. There are certain things only a gray-haired man should go for that meeting. He must go and represent you. Yes. He must have gray hairs. And show respect. You are a small boy pastor. A local small boy. You need an elderly person. You can't stay in the church and just let people sit around. Yes. So the church is going to be having more workers. The more the church is bigger, more Christians will be working very hard. Is it easy to understand?
Yes.
how we are building the mega church. Yeah. Me, I'm afraid of inactive people. Ish. You see, in the first life church, I have grown-ups, some few grown-ups. They are called the Greater Life Club. They are very active. They are one of the active groups in the church. Yeah. Yeah. They are very active. When we are sharing the grace, you see that there are ways to be moving like this. Because we watch the waist movement. Because the waist movement means flexibility and spirituality and sexuality and youthfulness. Number 10. You must have a mega church because through a mega church, more ministers, pastors, full-time pastors, bishops are appointed in the church. Yes, and it's a very good thing to have more bishops than more criminals. Every number is increasing. Should bishops not also increase? I mean, everything has an increasing number of parliamentarians in more regional capitals, more regional ministers. Should we not have more bishops also? You know, when I was in Pandai, I met a pastor who said to me, who is from Pandai here? You'll be there. You'll not shout, you'll be there. Okay. I met a pastor who was from the town. I think it was Pandai. And he told me that my bishop or my apostle, one denomination, my bishop or the equivalent of the bishop, my bishop is at base in Kete Krachi. And he has approved of our participation in this crusade. And he is giving his blessing. But I report to my bishop at Kete Krachi. So when he said that, I was filled with jealousy. I was jealous. I said, I don't have a bishop in Kete Krachi. I want to have a bishop in Kete Krachi too. Don't you want us to have a bishop in Kete Krachi? Need a bishop there. Yeah. You know, you must have jealousy for the right things. Yeah. Spiritual jealousy. If I say, I have a bishop at Kete Krachi, I say, my nearest bishop is in Tamale. It's very far. Very, very far from Tamale to Pandai. I need such more bishops, more ministers. A mega church has more. Even Ghana, we have 16 regional capitals, which means 16 regional ministers. At first, we used to have 10. And 10 deputy regional ministers. 16 deputy regional ministers now. Yes. With their directors of this, director of security, director of planning, director of education, director of this, director of that. More. Why shouldn't we have more bishops? I was filled with jealousy. I didn't say anything. He never knew my jealousy. I was just looking at him. You don't have to show your jealousy everywhere. And I said, no. I was just cool. But I thought to myself, no, I'm going to do this. Got to do this. When I drove through Pandu, I was thinking, Pandu is such a huge town with traffic lights and cathedrals. I saw a huge cathedral in Pandu. I was filled with jealousy. Where is my cathedral in this town? Where is my bishop in this bundle? Huh? It's time for that. It's time to have all these bishops. A mega church has bishops everywhere, I tell you. Yeah. And you see, in our church, the thing with the bishop is that you can't be a bishop unless you fulfill certain conditions. So that's the problem. You can't just, it's not something we just appoint, so you are a bishop. No. But when you're a bishop, you have to take us to where you are. When we get there, there must be something. Something to show that it's real. Yeah. Wow. I was filled with that. I saw Pando. There was a tall tower there. Isn't it true? Yes. Some of you know the place. Yeah. Tall, cut place. I said, hey, which church is this? And before Pando, there was another huge church with canopy. I said, hey, people have worked for God. We are sitting in Accra joking. Yeah. That's even Ghana. Go outside Ghana and see. When you drive, Bishop Eddie had the same experience. He went to Senegal. Is this Senegal? You drove from Dakar to Banjul, Banjul to Ziguinchor and Guinea-Bissau. You bow your head like this. No church, huh?
No church. No laborers. No bishops. No pastors. No shepherds.
Zero. When I say zero, you close your eyes like this. From, you see, if you look at the map, Senegal is, if it's a big round something, the top is Dakar by the sea. Then you come down, then Gambia is in the middle, exactly. Then you come down, then Ziguinchor. Then when you come down, you are in Guinea-Bissau. So it's straight line like this. You have to drive. Gambia used to be part of Senegal. It used to be called Senegambia. Is he a history student or geography student? These days I'm challenging the art students. I don't see any response. So you drive straight down. It takes about 5 hours to drive. It's the journey I remember bowing my head. I said, God, sorry. Sorry. Nothing. Hair. Cows. And other things. It's something, though. So, mega church. And you see, the church work must possess you. Look, I am a doctor. I'm a medical doctor. I will tell you that it's harder to be a pastor than to be a doctor. Yes. Because I'm both. The doctors who are only doctors cannot say whether they can. They may even despise. But everything is like that till you are into it. Yes. So I'm both a doctor and a pastor. I'm telling you that it's harder. Is it not harder?
Harder.
Are you a doctor?
Yes, Bishop. I'm a doctor in Brazil. I practice there. And it's far harder to do the work of God than to become a doctor. I went to Brazil, learned Portuguese, wrote the exam in Portuguese, passed the exam. I'm practicing. I practice attending patients in Portuguese. And it's far harder doing the work of God than practicing as a doctor. Far harder.
Shame on you, those who thought I was lying. You are arguing with me in your head. It's harder. It takes more from you to keep a member. Say it well.
It's more difficult to keep a member than to keep a patient.
This is a specialist. Specialist in what?
Radiology. Yes. Very difficult.
What are the name of your degrees?
FWACS, MWACS, BD, and MA in theology also. Yes. MBCHB, number one. FWACS. First of all, MWACS.
These are his degrees.
MBCHB, MWACS, FWACS. Yes. And FGCPS, Ghana College of. And then BD and MTH.
And you are saying that it is more.
It is more difficult to keep a church member than to keep a patient. Somebody who is sick and even needs a doctor. It's more difficult to keep a church member in the church than to keep somebody who is sick and needs a doctor. It's more difficult.
Hey! Shame on you, all those who thought I was lying. See the degrees that he has. And he's telling you that it's more difficult. Lift your hand, say, I'm going to be one of the bishops and one of the evangelists. Say, I'm going to be one of the bishops. Amen. So the mega church, we are going to have, you see 300 bishops, 400 of them say, hey! You're also a bishop. And we will never lower the standard to become a bishop. No. No. We'll never lower the standard. And even those who become bishops and they don't behave well, we'll deconsecrate them. Yes. We have introduced deconsecration. Yes. You're back to reverend. Yes. Back to reverend. Yes. Huh? Yes. Prove it. Is it fantastic? Mega church. Number 11. You must have a mega church because in a mega church, more people are involved in prayer against the power of the prince of the air. Yeah. More people are engaged in prayer against the power of the prince of the air if the church is big. If the church is 40 people, your prayer meeting will be up to a point. But when the church is big, more prayers are going on. Now, recently, when we had our prayer time, I had one team starting from 10 to 4. And then another prayer meeting from 4 to 8. And then all night from 10 to 4. So we have all night, every day. Yes, every day, all night. Not only Fridays, every day. What do you think? But if your church is small, who is going to come for the all night? Those who came in the day, they cannot come in the night. And those who come in the night, they cannot come in the day. And those who have been there from 10 to 4, they cannot stay from 4 to, maybe they may not stay from 4 to 8. So, mega church means more prayers. More people pray and will pray than ever before. And I can say that we are experiencing more prayer. The prayers are more. More. In my church, we have all night every day. There are people doing all night every day. We have all night. Every single day, there's all night. Every day they are doing all night. Oh yes. Oh yes. More prayers. We are binding devils. Yes. Binding devils and seizing them, burning them. We burn devils. We pour fire on them. We tie them with steel wires. We decapitate them. We throw stones at them. In Jesus' name, with our mouth and our words, we plead the blood of Jesus against them. We naked them. We scatter them. We bind them. We don't leave them at all. Yes. You'll be there without praying. Prayers. 12-hour prayers. 10-hour prayers. Last week or the week before, we were here praying. Yeah, we just pray. We start in the morning, 8. We close at midnight. Continuous. Standing here, praying. Yeah. Do you think the devil has seen you coming to town and he's just going to sit down quietly? There's a plan on you. There's a plan on you. But you must begin to surprise the enemy. He's not expecting to see you praying at that time. So you rise up and pray. Rise up and bind. Rise up and start fasting. He's expecting you to only fast at the beginning of the year 21 days. You have to shock him that you have restarted the 21 days again. Hey! These people. A surprise. You must be a surprise to the enemy. Surprise him. I'm not expecting this at this time. I've prepared myself for January bombardments. But he's not expecting bombardment in March. He's not expecting bombardment in March. He's expecting bombardment just in January. Yeah. And you shock him. Yes. He's expecting you to pray in the morning, but wake up in the night and pray. Ha! We came around, we thought that you'll be praying in the morning, so we came in the evening so that we can do whatever and go back, not knowing that you rose up and prayed. What a shock. I see you surprising the enemy in Jesus' name. Yes. Surprise them. Surprise the enemy. Surprise the enemy with prayers, with intercessions, surprise prayers. Suddenly you are praying for a longer time where he's not expecting you to pray. Yes. Yes. Surprise prayers. You rise up suddenly in the night and ambush the enemy. He thinks that he's good at surprises, but we are turning the tables. We are giving him his own medicine. He will see something he never thought he would see in the name of Jesus. See, the enemy thought that you cannot leave Brazil because it's so great. Yes, these are all surprises. No, one of the things about the devil is surprises, demonic surprises. Where it's like you are surprised, you are shocked. Say, oh, what is this? We're not expecting this at this time. You see, so now it's time to turn the tables and come up with something unexpected that Satan was never expecting that you can do this. Yeah. Never. So start to imagine and think and say, Lord, show me something to surprise them. You see, when Jesus was born in a manger, I don't know whether you know, a manger is the feeding place where the horse eats. The donkeys and that is where he was put. He was expecting the Son of God to be there. He was surprised. There was a stirring in the atmosphere. Are we here? What is happening? Something is going on. He was not expecting it. The king of pride. He would never expect something like this in such a humble place. So when he realized that it's something, then they wanted to kill him. And they sent him to Egypt. I'm sure he never expected they would go to Egypt too. Yes. Surprise. And he came back. And they wanted to kill Jesus and he ran away. They never thought he would run away. He said, man of God, I'll stand and fight. I said, no, he ran. He ran away. Yeah. They thought he would stand and fight. He said, no, I'm running. He ran away, I tell you. He said, a surprise. You are surprising Satan with various surprises. The devil is expecting that you won't marry now. You'll just be fooling around. But you surprise him by getting married. The king of pride, he's always surprised by humility. Yes. The king of pride is always surprised by humility. Satan was surprised when I went to First Love Church. I want to be with the children. Like my main people are children now. The person who introduced me to preach is a small girl. Yeah. She sits by my side. She's younger than my daughter. But she and my daughter were neighbors in school. Their rooms were next to each other. When I visit my daughter and I visit her, she introduced me to preach. Satan was not expecting me to be with the children. She was surprised. Was surprised to find me there. He's shocked.
The king of pride
is never expecting your humble move.
Make a move.
Yes. He's expecting you in a certain type of car. Since you didn't buy that car, that has surprised him. But yes, you have avoided him in a surprising way. Yeah. Yeah. He's expecting me to do certain things. I don't do those things. Yeah. He's expecting you to pray only in January. He'll be shocked this year. I said, this year he'll be shocked. When the fasting becomes wider than the January, they will start to beg and say, we like January. We like January. Please give us January. January is good. The king of pride. Yes. He was expecting that when you prosper, this is the car you get. This is the house. This. You shock him. Don't do all those things that he's expecting. You do something else. The king of pride. So Jesus was born and put in a manger down there. And this has finished eating, licking. And the Son of God was put there. Nowhere, no good place. There was an inn with humans, and he was with dogs and animals. Wow, what an escape. What a divine shock. Yeah. So, humility will take you very high and very far in God. And it will also take you high in building the mega church. Amen. Are you there? Surprise the enemy with your powerful prayers. Mega church, number 12. 25 reasons why we must have a mega church. Number 12, you must have a mega church because mega church generates large crowds, and large crowds generate great expectation. Great expectation. When there's a large crowd, there's a greater expectation. When there's a small crowd, there's smaller expectation. When the crowd is big, even you, the pastor, you preach better. And you sing better.
Yes.
Yes. When the crowd is big. Yourself comes.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Yourself comes. Really comes. Even if you are a businessman and the church is big, you will see that it will help your business. Yes. Don't come and sell your things in the church, but it will help your business. There are people who look at the church as a source of business. You come to plant your kiosk there, to sell your bow fruit, to sell your meat pies, and so on to the church. I don't know why people always want to take advantage and see whether they can make money out of the church. But I tell you, you can imagine how much money. We have printed more than 20 million books. Suppose I was even just $1 from each of these books. You can imagine. People want to always say, I'll get this. Don't think that way. God has his own way. Amen.
Amen.
Are you there or you are leaving? Luke 3:15, and as the people were in expectation and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he was the Christ or not. Expectation, very important. Number 13, you must have a mega church because in a mega church you will have a greater manifestation of miracles. Amen. Greater. Yes. Miracles.
There are more miracles in a large church, in a large crowd. Yes. Because the larger the crowd is, even the more sick people are there. Is it not true? I mean, even logically. And there's more expectation. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet, everybody. You have 13. You have 13. Father, thank you for the blessing that you've given to us. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.